read a verse as we focus on the Lord. This is one that's come to mind as I've been sitting there. It says this: not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. So good evening and welcome to CORE. It's great seeing you guys. And this evening, the title of my talk is called A Beautiful Mind. And I'll explain that in a minute, what that's all about. But what is important from this verse I just read now is that this thing, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. But before that it says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And it was interesting when Rob used that that Sinead O'Connor video. And it's all about the words from about the times that are changing. And in life, there's often much change. And I know we're at the moment beginning to go through change in the church. As the next few months, Rob's going to be moving on to do another job outside of here, which is fantastic. And we're really delighted that what God is doing for him. But with that change can come all sorts of things. We have fear of the future, insecurities. And I know myself as a leader of the church, it's a big thing to lose someone who you've worked alongside for, you know, for the last 5 years. And I know in my own life and my wife's life, we're having to deal with the fact that things are going to change and things are not going to be the same. And I think what I've noticed with the Lord is that he is the thing that is consistent and constant, because life is full of change. Life is always going to be full of change. Life's always going to be full of different challenges. And that's how it works. But God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so I want to encourage us in that. And we're going to look at this verse out of Romans 12:2. But I want to say this first. How we see life determines how we live life. Let me say that again. How we see life determines how we live life. It says in Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it says here, do not conform any longer. To conform means to comply with the standards of this world, or the patterns of this world. And so what are the patterns? What are the things in our life that conform us, that God wants to transform and renew in our life? So what are the patterns of the world? I suggest this. It's the ways in which the world has shaped us. It's how we think and how the world teaches us to think. And there's three things I want to look at this evening about conformity, how the world has conformed us. The world has conformed us through culture. The world has conformed us by expectation. And the world has conformed us by circumstance. And I'm sure the world has conformed us by many things, but these are three areas I'm going to look at this evening. And so firstly, how has the world conformed us by culture? Well, culture conforms us in many ways, doesn't it? Because culture is all around us. It's a very powerful force. It's something which, at its best, is very good. It's enlivening. It's invigorating. But culture also can have a profound effect on our lives. My dad's part of a church in London, and one of the things that those in the 20-somethings, particularly women, are really struggling with is the whole idea of is the way culture has presented to them, this is the way you are to be thin, to be beautiful, to be glamorous, to be like a movie star, a pop star. And those expectations of culture put pressure on women in this particular situation. And it's caused many things like eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia. It's a real problem within the church. Within the church, they've put together a course called the ID course. And what it is helping them to see how God intended them to be. So the difference between culture and God's intention for their lives. Because God doesn't want us to conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And secondly, we can be conformed by expectations. Family, friends, peers, we have wonderful people around us who have wonderful plans for our lives, don't we? And parents often have great expectations for us. We would like you to be like this, or like this, or like this. And when I was growing up, I grew up in a place called Chorley Wood. It was a very middle-class area. And the expectations of that particular culture was that you did well at school, you did your exams, you went to university, you got a good job, you became successful. And so people were driven to do just that. But what is it that God has called you to do? That is the pattern of this world, but what is it that God has called you and me to do? See, God has a plan for your life, and so does everybody else. The difference between the patterns of this world and the transformation and renewing of our mind, enabling us to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. And thirdly, the whole thing about being conformed by circumstance. Things that happen in our past can dictate the way in which we think. And there are often things in our life which we have no control of. And I remember when I was just 4 years old, I was being looked after by a babysitter, and the babysitter was a particularly harsh person, and I was quite young, quite sensitive, and this woman was brutal towards me as a very, very young person. And that had a profound effect on my life, because I began not to be able to trust people. And so I had to be in a situation where I was around those who I knew loved me, and I wouldn't let them out of my sight. Which is ridiculous, isn't it? And so I was feared, I was really worried about being abandoned, to be left alone in the situation where those who loved me, when I wasn't with them. So that had a profound effect on the way I saw life. And that had later on in my life, that affected the way I had relationships with people, because I was always scared of being hurt. And so it meant that I never committed myself to relationships. So I was always with this person, that person, because I didn't want to be hurt. And as I got older, there came a time I realized I had to change this way of thinking and this way of being. Otherwise, my life would be quite lonely. And one day I just said to the Lord, I just need you to heal this, because this is really affecting the way I relate to people. And so I asked the Lord just to begin the process of releasing me from that past and from that pain. And as I began to do that, Lord used to bring up that pain within me and began to heal me. And through that healing, he began to create a security in my life. So I realized that I could actually be with someone, and actually someone wasn't going to leave me, and someone wasn't going to hurt me, someone wasn't going to change, wasn't going to hurt. And so that was a pattern in my life in which God wanted to transform, to renew, so that I could know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, the mind is where the battle is won and lost. And it's interesting that our minds are filled with many things, but our tendency often is to focus on the negative. But Paul exhorts us to this. He says this: finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so God wants us to no longer be conformed to the old ways of this world. He wants to change our old ways for God's ways. And he wants to heal our way of seeing things so that we can see the way that God does. And I'll suggest three ways often that we can think, which is quite negative. It's not what God intends us to be. The first one is this, and this is one that I can do and I have done historically. And it's the whole idea of looking at the worst scenario. Do you ever do that? Where you're going to go and do something, or you've been asked to do something, you just kind of think, well, if I think of the worst scenario, it can't get any worse than that. Anyone else do that? Where you kind of go and do something, you kind of think, well, actually, do you know what I mean? That whole thing, you think, well, actually, if I look for the worst one, I'm not going to be disappointed. And by having this, we can begin to put a negative approach to who God is. The second way that we can be is be very controlling, the expression of being a control freak. We try and control everything so that we don't get hurt. And thirdly, we can be those who are always running away from situation after situation. But you see, if we haven't dealt with the thing that causes you to run, you'll bring that with you into your new situation. It will only be a matter of time before the old patterns surface again. So God wants to renew our minds. He wants to transform our minds. He wants us to be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this is a choice that we're given. We can be those with positive minds full of faith and hope that produce positive lives, or we can be negative minds full of fear and doubt that produce negative lives. And I don't know about you, but it's very encouraging when you're around with people who are just full of, you know, very encouraging. Do you notice that? People who are very, what's the word? They seem to have a very positive outlook on life. I know when I talk to my dad about things, he always sees the great potential in people, the great potential in life. And when you're around them, they're very exhilarating to be with. But on the other way, people who are very negative, full of fear and doubt, they kind of bring us down. And both of these things are things we feel at different times, aren't they? We don't always feel great and we don't always feel positive. And sometimes we feel negative. But what God wants us to do is to be consistent and to build into our lives this consistency, this conformity, not to the ways of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I was trying to think of an example to explain what that might look like, you know, how God wants to change a particular situation. And a few years ago, my wife and I were in a situation where we were fortunate enough to be able to buy a house, which is, it's amazing really, isn't it, these days, it's ridiculous. But and in this house we bought, it's a bit of a wreck when we bought it, but out the back of the house was this yard, and it was a place which is like from here down to the end here, and it was just like a wood. And in it was about 40 trees, and it's full of brambles, it's full of old tires, it's full of broken bottles, it's full of beer cans, it's full of mattresses, it's full of old tires. It was basically a rubbish tip. On the side of this particular area, there was no walls, so animals got into that, and there's dogs and cats in there. It was absolutely horrible. And when I looked at that, I just thought, my gosh, you know, that is, what on earth are we going to do with that space? And I was really hoping, because I love creation, and I love going out in the countryside, and I was hoping to make the space into a beautiful garden. But when I looked at it, I thought, how on earth are we going to transform this? So I asked a couple of friends of mine, including Rob and another friend of mine, and we turned up one Saturday morning thinking, well, let's start doing something about this. And so it was three of us about 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we're standing there, and I said, so you brought the chainsaw with you? What? You know, you brought the chainsaw with you. Oh no, it wasn't Rob, by the way. It was the person didn't actually bring the chainsaw. He said, oh no, I didn't. So he goes, oh, don't worry, I've got a yellow saw. And so we started this process of thinking, because of three quite sort of pig-headed men, we thought, we're going to clear this out. So we started, we had some rope and we had a saw, and we began the process of cutting these trees down. And so we floored probably about, 30 or 40 trees into the garden and began to create the space. But as we looked at the space, it was still full of trees, it was still full of bottles and beer cans and tires, and the space was still a mess. And so a few months later, as we began to do the house up, we got the builders in, and they brought in a sort of 7-ton digger. And so they came in the back garden and they ripped out the trees, they ripped out the roots, they cleared the rubbish that they loaded into the back of skips, and they began to clear this whole space. And eventually we had this rectangle with absolutely nothing in it. And then they built the walls around it. And so suddenly this place where there's no potential suddenly had a space with the potential of creating a garden. But there's nothing there. And so I met up with a friend of mine, and we sat down and began to see, what do we want to do with the garden? And there's a lovely person I got to know who's a garden designer. So we sat down and said, this is what we want to do with this space. And so I said, I kind of like a sort of path here. I like a place where you can sit out in the evening. I'd like to have a lawn here. I'd like to have a place where I can grow plants. I'd like to have this and that. And as we sat down together, we began to plot the space. We began to see, well, how are we going to make this into something beautiful? And so we designed it on paper, and we still had this kind of rectangle with nothing in it. And then a friend of mine, Kian, who's a garden designer, I had a chat with him about it, and I said to him, would you fancy coming and just helping us put this garden together? And he said, yeah, I know, I'd love to do that. So he came round, and so we began to plot out the land as it was shown on the diagram, and we put in the path, we put in the patio, we put in the wall areas, we put in the all these kind of areas. And then and when he came in, he then took the soil, he transformed the soil, he began to bring plants in and all these kind of things. And suddenly we began to see the beginning of what was going to become a beautiful garden. And then over a period of time, as in now, we've got this most incredible space at the back of our garden. It's full of flowers growing up the walls. It's got a beautiful lawn. It's just a wonderful space to hang out in. And it's a place of life. It's a place of hope. It's a place where it's just wonderful in the morning with a cup of coffee. You wander around the garden and you just begin to see this beautiful creation growing. But for it to become a beautiful garden, the rubbish had to go. For it to become a beautiful garden, we had to cut down the trees. For it to become a beautiful garden, we had to get rid of the beer cans, the old mattresses, and all the old rubbish. And it's the same thing as what God does with our minds. He wants to transform and renew our minds. He wants to get rid of all the rubbish that prevents this becoming a beautiful mind. And God does that over a period of time. And I know the way the Lord moves is that, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. But I know that if you put the right things in, you begin to see things as God intended it to be. And so I want to encourage this evening that God wants to renew our mind. He wants us to be no longer to conform to the pattern of this world, but he wants to renew and transform our minds so that we're able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And to renew our minds, we've got to allow the Lord to rewrite our minds. And that comes through both the Holy Spirit working and healing the pain from our past, but it's also beginning to see how God intended this world to be. So we see it through scripture, we see it through encouragement, we see it through helping each other, encouraging and building each other up. And one of the things that Easter that really spoke to me as we reminded what Jesus did upon the cross was the Garden of Gethsemane. And this was a garden, which is great, another garden. And at the beginning of the garden, Jesus was in a place where he realized the cross was ahead of him. He realized he was going to have to face this. And he said, if it's possible, will you take this away from me? But not my will, but yours. And then he went on again and said, Lord, if this is possible, can you take this away from me? Not my will, but yours. If possible, will you take this away from me? Not my will, but yours. And as I began to look at this, I just saw Jesus began to speak out to God the issue that he wanted the Father to deal with. He was overwhelmed by the potential of facing the cross. And he wanted God to take this away from him. And so he verbalized it, he brought it to God. And it was in the garden that Jesus didn't try and control the outcome, but he left the outcome to the will of his Father. And I think that's one of the ways that God wants to bring healing to each one of us, is that we bring these things to him. We bring the pain of our past. And that thing that happened to me when I was very young sometimes has a residue in my spirit. I know with people like Rob leaving or something, oh my gosh, I'm losing someone I care about. But then I think, well, actually, God's healed that. And so I have to stand firm on what God has done in my life. And there's things that people have spoken over our lives that said, you know, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be this, that, and the other. But actually, they stopped us being the people that God wants us to be. And family and friends are very powerful. And that's why Jesus said, when you get married, get out of town. Why? Because your family are going to start interfering with your relationship. And I want to speak very respectfully over here in Ireland, because, I mean, to use a very general phrase, everybody knows each other, don't they? We went to school with you. I saw such and such on the bus. I know what's her name has got a house over and such. And everybody knows each other. And by knowing each other, we can often prevent each other doing what God has called us to do, because we sort of say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this and that. And it's a very powerful thing. And at its best, it's fantastic, because I love the way that people know each other and can encourage each other and build each other up. But also, it can hold us back. And God wants to renew those things, these patterns, these things that have been instilled in our lives. He wants to transform them, to renew them, so that we know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I want to conclude before we just kind of have time just to allow the Lord to minister to us. Is that Jesus knew that God is good. Jesus knew that he could trust his life with the Father. Jesus knew that God could be trusted. He says in Luke, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, he will give him a scorpion? If then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the thing that I'm learning more and more about in my life is having to continually trust the Lord, to put my life into his hands, and not to look back, forget what is behind, and straining towards what is ahead. And with change, we've got to recognize where we've come from, but we've got to look forward to where God is leading each one of us to. And I want to encourage us this evening that God is good. God is loving. And God wants to renew our minds so that we're not full of fear. We're not full of anxiety. We're not fear of wondering what's happening in the future. Because in Jesus, it's all secure. And I love the picture of Jesus in the middle of the storm. He's asleep in the boat. And I just love that picture, because he knows the peace that comes. And he wants us to know that, you know, it doesn't worry him, the storm. It's not a problem for him. He's asleep in the storm. And I love the fact that he is in the storm. He's in the difficult times that we face. And so he can be trusted. And so we're just going to take a moment now. And I'll just ask maybe, Paul, could we just have another song maybe, So shall we stand, as we're just going to have another song, and then we're just going to have an opportunity just to respond to this, that, you know, God wants to minister to us this evening. So let's just do that.
So we're going to wrap it up in a few moments, but before we do, an opportunity to pray and an opportunity to respond. It's funny, Paul sings that little line at the end, "Awake my soul." I don't know if any of you are fans of the band Mumford & Sons. You may have heard them. They have a fantastic track at the moment, or it's in the sort of recent past, called "Awake My Soul." And I think in these times of change, as we started off with, of not knowing the future or feeling dulled, if you like, our souls can certainly become dull, and they can become hard even, and they can become almost apathetic, I think. And reading a book at the moment by David Cotter about change, one of the biggest problems in change is that we become apathetic. And I think as Christians too, our souls become apathetic, and God needs to awake those souls with his greatness and also his empathy as he stands with us in the boat, as John talked about. Because remember that Jesus was asleep, but when they said, wake up, we're scared, wake up, he did wake. He didn't stay asleep. He understood he needed to stand with them. And so I think as they awoke Jesus, it's almost like their souls awoke with it. And I just love to pray for some of us tonight, just a sense of needing our souls awoken, if you like. And we don't want to go from this place without allowing an opportunity to respond to that. So let's pray and let's finish up the service. And just, I think if your soul, if you like, what's the soul? Wow, go talk for weeks about that. But the ancient monks in Ireland talked about the soul as being the inward light within us. And if you feel that sense of just being, darkened, or you need to be awoken, let's pray for you now. We'd love to do that. And we'd love to pray for you now. So let's let Jason and Paul just continue to play, and let's not rush off from this place. And let's do this as God would want to do it, not how we would want to do it. So Father, we want to awake our souls tonight. Bands like Mumford and Sons and others are singing it, and you are saying it in your word, even in the Psalms, awakening our souls, it talks about. So there's definitely some of you tonight that need that word. I believe that, and I'd love to pray for you. So we're going to do it from where we're standing tonight. We have an opportunity to pray for you at the end. So if that's you tonight, I just encourage you to stand and open your arms. It's a great way of just saying, I receive that awakening. Just to stand and open wide, or if you need to sit maybe, just to stand and open wide. Just to say, God, will you awaken my soul again to the promises of your kingdom? I'm in a storm. Why are you asleep? Will you wake up? Will you wake up my soul? Help me, Lord. Informally, we'll have tea and coffee now, but for those who really would love prayer, just do come forward, because I just would love to just even in intimacy lay hands on a John too, just to pray an awakening in your life. We'd love to do that. If that's not for you, you just want to receive prayer where you're seated, do that. If not, tea and coffee is on the go there, and we can just have fellowship. And so I'm just going to say a closing prayer. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the clearing of the mind, if you like, as the metaphorical garden, Lord, digging out the things that hold us back and looking forward to the future. God, we look forward to this week, and we look forward to all that you will do, and give us hope, as hope springs eternal in our devotion and our reliance on you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. So do come forward and pray, and we'd love to just pray with you.